Well, we spent a lot of time this week chatting Oregon State, the situation there. I wanted to use this a little bit of an opportunity to chat a little Apple Cup here. We bring in my quarterback, the great Alex Brink, also does sideline duties on the C-Dub. Loves the media life over there in Wazoo and is our Wazoo guy. Alex, we'll start you off with an easy one. My friends and I, we have a tradition on the Apple Cup. How many beers do you think each of us drink on the Apple Cup?
I would set the over under at 16.
We drink 12 beers, one for each loss the Huskies had in 2008.
Oh, fantastic. keep them coming on this fine Friday. Love that.
What's up, brother? Go Cougs. We are so petty over here today.
Oh, it's all time, man. What else would you do on a rivalry weekend?
But let's get right into this, and we'll start with the rivalry. You know, we live, I'm sure you're aware of kind of the situation from the fan base, from an Oregon State perspective, how this season has really kind of gone off the rails and a lot of internal issues and fans kind of bailing water, it feels like. Where are you in the sense of where Washington State UW is and the importance of this rivalry? Should it continue? The gap in talent, money, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I think it absolutely should continue. I mean, you don't, like, I don't think you toss away 115 plus years of history just because these teams are in different conferences. Like, conference realignment has happened before, and I think rivalries have continued to exist. And I think, you know, I think the challenge, of course, is that for Washington, last year was the worst case scenario, right? They make a big jump to the Big Ten where they take a half share. Everybody pretends like it's a good thing for UW. And then in the end, they get beat by Washington State in Seattle. And so they're sitting there saying, well, maybe we don't want to play this game anymore. Like, no, like, you should absolutely play this game for a million reasons. And, you know, now you're kind of seeing where Jed Fish has rebuilt the roster and they feel like they have a good team. Now, you know, now it's like, well, you know, we'll see how this goes moving forward. I just think, you know, for the fan bases and the history and the pageantry of what college football is and, you know, what rivalries are, I think it's super important. And it's easy for, you know, UW fans to explain away after a loss. But, you know, I tell you what, I mean, there's so many special things about this game.
Brink, when you look at this game, this Washington team on paper looks like it's mimicking some of the Fish teams, particularly, I should say, that you didn't have many years there, but at Arizona, where you've got the smaller quarterback in Williams, and you've got, obviously, Jonah Coleman coming over from Arizona, where it just kind of, and the big wide receiver on the outside, like, it looks like he's trying to build that same kind of persona, but we haven't really seen this UW team tested. So when you're looking at this from a quarterback perspective, and you're looking at this UW team, how does Washington State attack this team and not do the unthinkable, but cause another upset?
Yeah, I think I think there's a couple things. When you look at, you know, that offense, I think you're right. You know, Jed Fish knows what he wants to be. He's kind of a pro style offense that likes to mix in a quality running game with play action pass. I mean, it's very reminiscent of the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan type of world, right? The X factor is Damon Williams, who's an elite athlete and provides kind of an extra piece to the puzzle that you have to be aware of. I will say, I think Washington State's uniquely suited defensively to face this team, right? I think, you know, they're a really hard-nosed, fast defense. They're good against the run. They got speed on the outside. They have really good safety play, and they tackle well in space. So, you know, I think it's a better matchup than maybe people give it credit for, especially because Washington State looks so bad on paper after their Week 3 loss at North Texas. But I do think the Cougar defense has a good chance here. But you have to commit to stopping the run, and then you have to just say, hey, we're gonna match up on the outside and play those big receivers and, you know, hope that we don't get beat with some big plays. And so, you know, I think there's a path there. I think the challenge for Washington State is going to be on offense, where they've been so discombobulated through 3 weeks. They're trying to figure out what their identity is, right? They wanted to run the football going into the season, and they just can't for a number of reasons. I think the offensive line is kind of rebuilt, and most of those guys are probably pass first or pass blocking first type of guys. So they're learning a new system and new techniques. I think you have running backs that are transitioning from the FCS level to the FBS level. So I think Washington State, you know, they need to lean into who they are, which is some good speed on the outside at receiver and in the slot position, athletic tight ends, whoever's playing quarterback. We don't know who it's going to be, right, tomorrow. I think they can distribute the ball to those guys and make some hay, you know, against a solid UW defense.
And that's where we'll go next into that quarterback slot, as, you know, it was announced that open competition for the week, you know, our favorite things in the world to hear from a team going forward. And you look at a lot of those mistakes. I mean, I think North Texas might be better than a lot of people are giving them credit for, but a lot of those mistakes were just self-inflicted. Potter had an absolute disaster of a game. You played quarterback at a very high level at Wazoo. Is the open quarterback competition, is it to create like a fire under Potter and tell him to clean up those mistakes? Is it a secret to just like bring in Eckhouse to be the starter? You know, where does Duke fit in all this? How do you approach that after just such a, like you said, discombobulated disaster of performance?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple layers to it, in my opinion. I think, you know, the quarterback competition, by all rights, was very close coming out of camp, right? And, you know, Jackson Potter essentially won it because he was so consistent in his decision-making all the way back through the spring. And then, you know, he's got really high upside as a passer. You can see it. I mean, he can rip the ball, right? Like, he can throw the football really well. You know, he's accurate. He can do a lot of really good things. The challenge is that through 3 weeks, he hasn't been as good of a decision maker, I think, as the coaches would have hoped based on what they saw in practice. Okay, so now they're trying to kind of figure out, well, how do we move forward? He's a young quarterback. He's a redshirt sophomore, you know, 3 starts under his belt now. Like, you know, there's a lot of growth for him ahead of him. And it's just, how much can you afford, right? And how much can you afford those challenges they faced last week? And so with a guy like Zevi Eckhouse, you kind of know what you're going to get, right? Like, he's played a lot of football. He's a little limited physically, but he's a good enough athlete to make plays out of the pocket, and he's going to get the ball to the right guys. And so I think for this staff, you know, Julian Duggar is the third one there. I don't think he's quite there yet. He's going to have a role, but it's really Potter and Eckhouse. And to me, this is going to be a question of, you know, do you trust Jackson Potter to make adjustments and go out and be the guy you saw during the San Diego State win? Or do you want to let the vet have his shot and kind of protect against the downside of having, you know, maybe a younger quarterback out there?
When you look at this game, Brink, could this game be a potential springboard for the rest of the season? Because after this, you've got Colorado State and you've got Ole Miss down in Mississippi, which, boy, that's...
Buckle up, baby.
That looks like a game and a half.
We're rolling strong to Oxford.
But after that, you get Virginia, Toledo, Oregon State, Louisiana Tech. James Madison certainly is a Group of Five program that has been very good. Even post-Signetti, they've looked decent for sure. And then you wrap up again with Oregon State. But this, coming off particularly the North Texas loss, could this be a swing game for the kind of the rest of the season? Because it looked like the way Oregon State lost last week, and honestly the way they've lost all season, that they don't care. Where it looked like North Texas was a rough game, but Washington State doesn't have the they don't care about them yet. Can they acquit themselves in this game, even in a loss, and still set the table for the rest of the season?
I think that's a fair characterization. I mean, you know, I said as soon as that North Texas loss, you know, like as soon as that North Texas game ended, it's like the best thing that happened to the team is that they're playing UW next week, right? And the outside rhetoric is, you know, oh, they're going to get smoked and this game doesn't matter. And, you know, UW's got Ohio State next week and all these things, right? Well, think about how big of a problem that is for the Huskies. That, like, they still got to go to Pullman and beat, again, I think a Washington State team that is bought in, right? A bunch of these 15 of these guys played for Jimmy Rogers at South Dakota State. They're not going to quit on him, you know? And I think they've shown San Diego State's a good football team too. And they've shown they can go out and beat teams. Right. And so I think coming home and playing the Apple Cup and getting all the energy and all of the excitement about that game is going to immediately re-energize these guys. And I think they just need some things to go well for them early in the game. And if that happens, boy, watch out. And I do, you know, to your point about being a springboard, yes, absolutely. It was last year. Right. And if the team can get going and get that kind of, you know, get that momentum that you felt a little bit, honestly, after San Diego State. And that's why North Texas was such a shock, is I think you can get back on track really quickly.
We'll get you out of here on this. Alex Brink joins us. I have this question, and it's more of like a national and a fandom question that I keep wrestling with myself, and I don't know the answer. And I'm curious your opinion as you live in the same world as I do. Are we big Cam Ward fans? Are we big John Mateer fans? In a transfer world, when you're, you know, you can be a stepping stone program. When the guy leaves and goes somewhere else, can you root for him? Do you claim him? Or does it have to be about more how they left? Because I don't think anybody blames Mateer for leaving.
No, absolutely not. And yes, you have to claim them, especially if you're a program like Washington State. And this is, you know, get me on my soapbox, please. In this day and age, you have to embrace kind of who you are and where you fit in the hierarchy, right? Because Washington State, if you kind of peel back from, you know, Cam Ward and John Mateer, you know, and all the things, you can say, hey, you can have success, right? Like, if you think back to last year with John Mateer, you have John Mateer for 1 year, and you're in a position where you're ranked in the top 25 and you fall apart in the, you know, the back third of the season. But if they're able to maintain that focus and get through that, right, and the coaching staff stays focused, I mean, they have a special, special season, and John Mateer still leaves, and that's fine. You can go get the next guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the thing about the transfer portal and NIL is that, especially with the house settlement, they've actually reduced the roster spots, right, on every team. So that means there's more athletes available across the country. That's why Alabama's struggling so much, right? They're losing all the athletes they used to have that they hoarded forever. They're getting spread out. There's more parity. And Washington State and Oregon State can succeed in that world if they embrace who they are and celebrate those players. Make a guy feel good for leaving, right? And shout from the rooftops that you created John Mateer and he went to Oklahoma and they get the benefits of that success.
I love you. We created you. 3-1, if my memory serves me correct, in Apple Cups. You started all 4 years?
You betcha.
You got a good memory. What's your favorite? Make it quick.
Oh, got to be 07, man. Senior year, my last pass as a college player is a touchdown to win the game in Husky Stadium. Play that game in Husky Stadium. I want to go there, man. I'd love playing there. I drive across, was at the 520, the bridge, and I look at that stadium. I said, I own that thing.
you're the best, Alex. Thank you. That's Alex Brink. You can catch him on sidelines. You follow him for Wazoo. He's my guy. Super biased. Have a great rivalry weekend, my friend, and we'll do this again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Good luck tomorrow, brother.
Oh, I love that, man.